A Day's Lodging. It was the gosh dangest stampede I ever seen. 1,000 dog teams hitting the ice. You couldn't see 'em for smoke. 2 white men and a Swede froze to death that night, and there was 12 busted their lungs. But didn't I see with my own eyes the bottom of the waterhole? It was yellow with gold, like a mustard plaster. That's why I staked the Yukon for a mining claim. That's what made the stampede. And then there was nothing to it. That's what I said, nothing to it. And I ain't got over guessing yet.
Narrative of Shorty. John Messner clung with mittened hand to the bucking G-pole and held the sled in the trail. With the other mittened hand, he rubbed his cheeks and nose. He rubbed his cheeks and nose every little while. In point of fact, he rarely ceased from rubbing them, and sometimes, as their numbness increased, he rubbed fiercely. His forehead was covered by the visor of his fur cap, the flaps of which went over his ears. The rest of his face was protected by a thick beard, golden brown under its coating of frost. Behind him churned a heavily loaded Yukon sled, and before him toiled a string of 5 dogs. The rope by which they dragged the sled rubbed against the side of Mester's leg. When the dogs swung on a bend in the trail, he stepped over the rope. There were many bends, and he was compelled to step over it often. Sometimes he tripped on the rope or stumbled, and at all times he was awkward, betraying a weariness so great that the sled now and again ran upon his heels. When he came to a straight piece of trail where the sled could get along for a moment without guidance, he let go the G-pole and batted his right hand sharply upon the hard wood. He found it difficult to keep up the circulation in that hand, but while he pounded the one hand, he never ceased from rubbing his nose and cheeks with the other.
"It's too cold to travel anyway," he said.
He spoke aloud, after the manner of men who are much by themselves.
"Only a fool would travel at such a temperature. If it isn't 80 below, it's because it's 79.
He pulled out his watch, and after some fumbling, got it back into the breast pocket of his thick woolen jacket.